Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy B, aka Pat the Stallion, aka Debbie.
What's up? I'm Weezy. Welcome back to another episode. We have a guest that is very special. You've probably heard of her. She's been here before, but not in a long time. And we just love supporting your shit, Jet Setting Jasmine.
Hello, hello.
Yes, what's going on?
So happy to be back here.
I'm actually still sad, though, that we've only had you and your partner solo. It's still have yet to have y'all together.
Oh, that's why we did a live show with you.
Yeah.
And
we were together there. But
in Orlando.
Yeah. The last
hurrah.
Do you remember that show?
Yes, I remember the before times. I got so many clients.
No, I meant what happened at that show.
Well, I mean, I had a good time. We were spanking people. We were, like, licking people.
Don't do that, because one of y'all it was either you or King, y'all was spanking my mama, and I had to go get Miss Tammy. Like, Mom, do you remember, was it you or King spanking my mom? Mom was literally like, I think I'm going to go to Tampa. They live close.
I know.
And I was like, you know, no, you're not,
for
Mom.
A session?
Yes.
Ooh. We got so many clients off of that show. So thank you so much.
Oh, I love it.
I would never be able to disclose if it were your mom's or not.
Girl, I will tap Miss Tammy ass up.
Do you guys, is it like therapy, like for real? Like you never disclose?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, of course.
It's like HIPAA violations.
It is, but and we're not bound by law, but I mean, we have our own personal
ethics.
We do
bondage, though. We're not bound.
Well, I wanted, for those of you who may not have heard the first time you were here, because it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
It was in the before times.
Mm-hmm. BC, before COVID. Mm-hmm. I wanted to introduce you to our audience, and there are three things in which I just want to break down as far as what you do. One is you are a master fetish trainer.
Yes.
Can you explain to our audience what that is? Because I'm like, they just be making new titles of everything. I can't keep up. What is a master fetish trainer?
So King and I have been in this industry for over 20 years combined.
Wow.
And we help people explore their fetishes by what, hand over hand, or producing experiences, events. And we also combine our experience, our lived experience as sex workers and a therapist to help people get to either the bottom of their shame or stigma that keeps them from being able to help explore their fetishes in a healthy way.
And so are you a licensed, in your bio as well, there's a psychotherapist.
Yes.
And do you then focus specifically on sex, trauma, fetish in psychotherapy, or what do you do as a psychotherapist?
Because of my work as a sex worker, most of my clients do come and see me from that perspective, but I am a generalist in terms of therapy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then sex worker, baby.
I was going to ask you, what kind of sex work have you and King Noir done?
There's very little that we haven't done, like everything from live sessions, in-person sessions to cam modeling. Mm-hmm. The whole gamut. I sell my breast milk, you know, like whatever for pleasure.
You sell your what?
My breast milk. Yeah. Like lactation fetish. So, I mean,
that's why you got pregnant. So you could go ahead and get into selling it.
It's like one hand washes the other.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Wait, so what's the going rate of that?
I want to know about that.
I ain't know about that either.
Well, right now my going rate is about 150 an ounce. And
girl, what? That's more than weed.
I only know grams.
Oh, well, let's not tell on ourselves.
Okay, so 150 an ounce.
Yeah.
And how do you ship it?
Depending on where it's at, like I freeze it and then use, you know, dry ice and package it. And if I have to do like extra to get it somewhere a little bit further, then
it costs
more.
And what part of white middle America do you sell your respite to?
Oh, I don't limit it to middle America. It goes overseas. It goes wherever it can get there overnight. Yeah. They love it.
Where's the farthest place you've sent the breast milk?
That's a good question. I would say first Germany.
Stop lying, dude. No. So let me ask you, what in terms of kink then, in terms of fetishes, what might someone do with someone else's breast milk? Like, what is it being used for?
So some people like to drink it.
It's so nasty.
Excuse me? Excuse me, Mandy?
I'm not judging. I ain't judging. But y'all niggas nasty.
Some people like to drink. Most people like to drink. Okay. Or at least that's what they tell me. You know, some people like it on their body because it's very sugary. It's very sweet, Mandy. So it does have a texture.
I tasted it. Not yours.
Yeah, Weezy put her mouth on a tit at a live show and tasted it straight out of a titty.
It's warm.
That was the first thing I said.
She literally
was body temperature. I think that it was just so shocking that it was so warm.
Yeah.
But now I see why we boil the bottles.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm. I ain't even think of that.
See, it's okay. But you don't have to. That's my job. And if this was your fetish, I would be walking you through that. Like how to consume it safely.
Now, because you are, you know, on OnlyFans and you're this, mm-hmm. you're this visible sex worker, is that like a premium rate, I guess I'm asking? Like, 150 sounds really high.
You know,
is that not a premium rate because of who you are?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the going rate. I do it based on how I value my time.
Mm.
So, you know,
I had to squeeze
it. Right, okay. Right. And then, you know, more than just squeeze it, like, I got to bag it. You know, I have to make sure that it gets there. Like, I have to get it to the post office. So I just, that's like about an hour and a half of my time.
Hold on. How okay. much can
come on, sex sales. Come on,
breast milk. You know I'm about the money, bitch. Because honestly, on sex sales, we really don't talk about sex lives. It's more about the money. But this is,
What is it?
Okay. So they're going by the milliliter. 100 milliliter bottles of with donor breast milk is $10 each. Oh, so your shit got an uptick.
Yeah, I mean, I volunteered to, when there was a shortage of formula, I did volunteer to women that were unable to.
We love a hoe that's.
I love it.
I got extra.
Philanthropic, sorry.
I wanted to kick off an icebreaker.
Okay.
Because you and King do have a podcast yourself.
We do.
And so, of course, in looking at what the conversations were, I actually wanted to start with common misconceptions or stereotypes of sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do not only a true or false-ish, but like you tell us your experience.
Okay.
So the first one is that sex work is a fun and easy job. Of course, because we love having sex. We talk about how much fun it is,
yeah.
the exploration of it, like going to sex clubs, being with our partners, bringing people in. Sex is fun. At least it's supposed to be when done mm-hmm. right, consensually, right?
Absolutely.
As a sex worker, though, mm-hmm. it's a job.
Absolutely.
Is it as much fun as it is work, and is it easy?
It is not easy at all.
What's the hardest part?
The stigma that comes with it.
Oh.
Yeah, like.
Really? That's the hardest part?
To me, that's the hardest part.
The way y'all be editing, I would think it's the post-edit production.
Well, I don't do the editing.
Oh, okay.
I do the pass before it gets to the public. So,
okay.
And yes, so that, I mean, I do believe that that is hard work also, but sex work has such a specific stigma attached to it
mm.
that it's like you're jumping hoops that other people don't have to do no matter how hard their job is, you know?
Mm.
So it's like thinking, okay, I'll give you an example. Our son is about to start school soon, right? He's going to kindergarten. And we're like, he knows a lot. Like he knows like my, like, you know, our stage names, right? And so we're like, oh, how is this going to work? We have to find a school that is sex work friendly. Like, where do you find
that? Are there sex work friendly schools?
Well, if there are, I hope that they comment below.
In Tampa?
Comment below
in Florida?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Oh, you're fucked.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Right. No.
Oh, yeah. DeSantis ain't having it.
No.
He already trying to take away African-American history out
right.
of the schools.
Right.
He definitely ain't for sex work.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
You're
not saying yes to the whole.
Our son, he goes, you know, he likes to be called a rainbow boy, right? Because we're just... We just open like that. And so those are the things that we're like, oh, like, okay, if this child is so free and so open and his spirit is so beautiful and loving, and he goes and into this system and they start asking, like, you know, like, who your parents are? Where'd you learn to love everybody? You know, all of that kind of stuff. That to me is like, it's my job. It's how we provide. It's why he's so damn smart.
But do your kids know what you do?
That yes. He knows we work. We travel for work. He knows, like when I'm getting dressed up, mommy's going to take pictures. And, you know, that's about the extent of it, you know, or daddy has to work on the computer because he's editing, that type of thing. But it's not really hard to find anyone.
And I had this question later on mm-hmm. in just speaking in general as a sex worker. And I know you're friends with so many as well. Mm-hmm. What are the conversations with protecting or, keeping private certain things, knowing in modern day technology that kids and family members are on social
on
media,
everything.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there used to be a time where you could be a sex worker, an escort, or a porn star. And unless, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You popped it up on the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't really seeing it. Now it's in our phones. What mm-hmm. are the conversations with either keeping it private or sharing it with kids and family members?
So our decision is to be outright and open.
Okay.
Like you won't find out anything about us, you know? And so I think that's sort of the hard part with the stigma is that we have to find places that are safe for us, that are safe for our kids as well. And so any other job, I could say, like, I have a really dangerous job, or I, you know, can't tell you much about my job, but my job is public, you know?
Right.
So we choose to disclose. Our family knows, our children will know as it's age appropriate. You know, my oldest daughter's there all in the know. They're like, oh, you're going on Horrible Decisions. Like, tell Weezy I said hi.
Didn't I meet your older daughter?
You did meet my older daughter, and her best friend is just like, with Mandy and Weezy. I'm like, oh God, well, y'all out here making horrible decisions, so you might as well listen to the show.
I want to know, like, was there ever this moment where your older kids, like, couldn't understand or were, like, embarrassed by what you do, and when did it change?
I do think embarrassed. I don't think that because they
Can't you be a normal mom?
No.
Okay. Is that
no. What you're saying? Yeah. Maybe. You know what it is? They've watched the progression. They've always been a part of the journey. So it wasn't like something that they were just like, oh my gosh, you know, like that. And they see the behind the scenes, so they know it's not as outlandish as other people make it out to be. It's like, oh, I go to work and then, like, I come home. There's no, like, line of men, coming into my house the way people think it is. Or, like, it's homework time. It's homework time. It's I'm not, like, smoking or, you know.
Right.
I'm very present for my children. Yeah. My oldest child has always been, like, that's my mom. That's my mom. Don't you want to be friends with me? Because that's my mom.
That's so nice.
My middle child is more like, everybody don't need to know everything. People say, like, what did your mom do for a living? She's a therapist. My dad is a musician. And then she just goes, like, if they find out, they find out. But I'm not lying to them. But I'm also, like, I don't have to tell them anything.
I think that's so amazing, too. Like, for you to be a mom with multiple children that all receive it differently. You know what I mean? I find that to be amazing. I wanted to go into the next misconception. And this one, I saw the actual video and you rolled your eyes and I was like, oh, I got to ask. Especially because Weezy and I just spoke about this on another episode, just regarding especially us having the show. The other misconception or stereotype of a sex worker being that you want to fuck everyone. And we had the conversation even with our friends, or when people come around, they just assume because we have this sex show that they can bring up certain things to us. I don't even think I shared this on an episode. I'm not sure. And I know you're listening because I know you're a fan. I hosted at Revolt Summit and saw a fan and he was dressed super dapper in a suit and came up and let me know how much of a fan he was. Mind you, it's 2:00 in the afternoon because I had to be there like all day. And he comes up, I take a picture with him and he's like, hey, what are you doing later? I would really like to take you to dinner, and then could you peg me after? And my best friend was with me, and all I could do was smile because I know the space we're in. But when I told my best friend that, she was just like, I don't even know how someone would feel comfortable. That would be like a man coming up to me saying, hey, do you mind if I take you out to dinner so you could suck my dick later? Pegging is still a sexual act. And even though I talk about it on the show, like, my friend was like, mortified. And I was just like, dang, but I still have to be nice. I know he's a supporter. I know he's here as a fan. But I was just
like, was he joking?
No. He slid me his number the next day. And was really trying to see me.
Stars, and I haven't seen people talk to them like that. Like,
oh, no. I mean, but
this
but
is
you get asked often, like even at live shows, they'll stand up in the audience and be like, hey, Weezy, can you join me and my man after? Like, we get those asks in front of, like,
in but you front know of what's crazy? Like that
I isolate that experience to live shows because I'm just like, oh, they're being funny.
You don't think they will take your ass up on that? Yeah, they're shooting their shot publicly, and while you have, you know, cameras on you, and you're sort of like being put up to your character, you know, like this is your work. Is she going to show and prove? Like, no.
Is she really who she says she is?
Yeah, like, but like in that. your shares, they're decisions that you've made because you've wanted to, you know, not because people have put you on the spot.
Well, and that's the thing about, like, talking about sex. Just because I talk about pegging doesn't mean at all I want to peg you. Like, it's my experience and I'm sharing it. But for people to just feel like, oh, well, this, like, oh, I get DMs all the time of
Mandy's men. Trying to tell y'all that she is not short
I'm not
of an
pegging
asshole.
Pegging yo motherfucking
She's got booty holes by the billion.
They're in my phone if I want it. I don't need new booty holes, I promise.
Basketball booty holes.
Big old booty holes.
Is there any
stand up and frog and booty holes?
Is there any special booty hole that you're kind of looking forward to? Like, is there anyone that is on the list?
I was really upset that my ex never, like, let me get up in the booty hole.
Old booty hole.
Yeah, I just wanted the booty hole. And he was like, girl, no. And then that's where we even had the conversation at one point. Well, if this is something you really need and want so bad, I'll allow you to go out and
right.
do this if you really need it. Mm-hmm, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? I ain't need a dead bed because we did a whole lot of other shit.
Did you ever have a hard no? Like, because if pegging was his hard no, did you have one that you could have compromised on?
It'd be like, oh, I mean, I've said, like, I'm not into scat play, of course.
Breast
I'm
not into,
No.
Oh, that's
him,
what I'm saying.
With him, my hard no.
Did he want to shit on you, Mandy?
No. So I'm not going to lie. There wasn't a hard no with him, but I did have to tell him that something that I allowed him to do, I really didn't enjoy, and I was doing it.
And we don't want to do it again.
And so I was just like, so he used to do like suffocating stuff.
Okay.
So he would put the pillowcase over my head, and like he likes asphyxiation, that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was doing it, and I know like it turned him on, I really just had to say, okay, that's something that I know you enjoy, but I can't get with it.
Right.
So I had to tell him, like, we can't do that anymore. But I wanted to ask you, with you and your partner, especially because your partner, everybody want to fuck him. How do you guys meet people and also, like, let them know, hey, we're human and we don't want to fuck everyone that approaches us?
Yeah, that is, it's really tough to know people's intention. Like, it's okay if you want to have sex with us, but are you also trying to get to know us as a person, or are you trying to, like, get the, like, notch? There was, you know, a situation that he had, and the person was like, you know, like, can I talk about it later? Like to other people.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Maybe.
Possibly.
And that felt really like
clout chasing.
Yeah. Like, you know, if there's a lot of people that we sleep with and we actually like have them on show, we film it and we put it out there. But to like have a notch on your belt with one, like that's, it's rude, you know? And it is kind of the same stigma. It's dehumanizing. It's right. Like, are you dating in this way?
Wait, talk about the experience naming you.
Not well. I didn't fuck her. But
I'll be honest.
No, like, not the experience, but like you.
Okay, I agree with you.
Yeah, like the name dropping, basically. You know,
completely
yeah. right. And there, I mean, there are also clients that want to do the same thing. You know, like, well, I should say fans. They don't become clients, or it's like, listen, we don't disclose your information. If this is a certain type of experience that you want to have, like, yes, you need to pay for it. But like trying to like coerce me into thinking that you like me or that you want to date me just so that you could say like you fucked a porn star, you know, like that's just, it's gross.
You feel fetishized as a sex worker as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
More so than when you weren't?
Yes, absolutely. Because the idea that I don't want to get to know somebody, or that, like, you know, or that I just, like, I'm a machine. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I want to throw something at
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Devil's advocate.
Because
I'm definitely understanding how you're feeling, because I've felt that way before. Mm-hmm. But is there a world where, we know you got the bridge, you don't need the money.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a world where that is actually a business for someone? Think about porn stars, right?
Yeah.
We had Cinnamon Love on, and she was talking about how stripping in back in the day, 20 years ago, after doing porn was the way you made your extra money.
Mm-hmm.
With porn stars today that say, hey, I'm in this city, isn't the fetish of fucking a porn star the business for them?
If they're advertising and you're stepping into them as a client, absolutely. Like if I'm escorting, then yeah, book me. You know what I'm saying? But this idea of like showing up at my dinner or my other workplace, or like, you know,
being in
the elevator and being like, so, you know, if you want to peg me, if you want to send some of that breast milk my way, you know, it's like, nah, pay for my service, go on the website, do the thing. So yes, I do 100%. I don't want to take away from anybody's experience having a fantasy with a porn star, stripper, whatever, but respect their work, and then respect when they're not at work. You know what I'm saying? I don't go up to a barista and be like, you know, like, I know you work at Starbucks, can you go get me a coffee? Like, that's so rude.
Right. You're right.
Damn, I ain't gonna lie. That is rude as fuck.
Isn't it?
Because you know what? I hung out with like bartenders outside of their element.
Can you make me a drink, please?
And you know when they go to a party, people, like, I dated a bartender, and I remember people like, oh, you do the shots, you the bartender. And I'm like, I would even feel uncomfortable.
Oh, I used to love doing that. I love giving everybody drinks. I'm like, I got it, because y'all take too long.
No, but you volunteer.
But I volunteer. Yes.
Yeah.
But if someone just threw it to me, yeah, you're right.
Hey, Mandy, go tell a joke.
Look, yeah, nah. I mean, think about it. I mean, y'all are comfortable talking, right? So imagine like going to a friend's wedding and or event and they're just like, oh, like, get on the mic. Like, homie, you know, it's just like.
Oh, people do that to me at parties a lot.
It's the same.
Not like mic shit, but they'll be like, all right, Weezy, spice it up. Tell us who you fucked recently.
Yeah, you're not at work.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nah.
It's the same. It hire you to do that, right? Or let you be like, it's boring. Let me spice shit up.
It's really weird.
Period. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, the last one I wanted to talk about, only because I still like digging into the health aspects of things, mm-hmm. the stigma and misconception that sex workers are at a higher risk to catch an STD. True or false?
So,
yeah. Double-edged sword here, right?
It is. It's not that cut and dry.
Okay.
So you also asked, like, what do we do? So something for Kane and I is, like, we tend to date and have sexual experiences within the industry because people respect the fact that, like, you know, we're having these experiences where other people don't respect you as a full person, all the stuff that we just talked about. And we test like a mug. Like, we test. Like, I'm just coming up off my 14 days and...
Every 14 days?
For our company, when we're shooting, we do a 14-day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blood?
Twice a month.
Pee and blood. Yes, urine and blood. Mm-hmm. So if you see that we're on...
Peeing in a cup is easy.
But giving blood?
You just do the prick. You just prick the finger?
No. It's, yeah, for everything. Yeah. And so... For our company, when you see us that we're out and about and we're shooting, we're testing every 2 weeks. And you have to have a test within 2 weeks to work with us. Mm. Right? And then when we are doing, like, our personal play, that's again, our bread and butter, our family. And we don't have the same reassurance with people that are not in the industry. So, you know... We do have our partners test, and we actually have them do our industry standard test because we respect our coworkers as well. We ain't trying to bring no shit into our, you know,
right
into our circle. So I would say it's hard to say for every sex worker because everyone doesn't shoot porn that, you right. know, goes by standard. Everyone doesn't accept the same standard.
Yep.
But I would say for my company and the company I keep, yes, I do think it is. I have been much less likely to interact with folks with STIs or people who won't disclose if they have an STI. And that's sort of been like the beauty of working in this industry, into sex industry, where people have said things like, you know, I really want to play, but my limits are like here and here because things are going on down there. Cool. I could respect that. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you're having a flare-up?
I don't say that when I'm on my period.
Okay, well, whatever was going on down there.
But now that I know it may look like chlamydia, I need to change the verbiage.
I mean, you could. But really, like, just being able to say, like, you know, I'm having a flare-up or what have you. Okay, cool. Then let's work with what you got and not catch what you have and share with other people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I love that. All right, well, let's get to some funnies. We're going to get to our vanilla shit. Okay. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time because you absolutely love Jet Setting Jasmine, our vanilla shit segment is where we get into sex in the news. And I found this one and I was just like, bitch, you lying, but it's a real thing. A man developed sudden amnesia after having sex with his wife, completely forgetting his own wedding anniversary party the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I brought this up because
it is. What kind of pussy is that?
It is. Well, it's sex related, bitch. So it was a man got amnesia 10 minutes after having afternoon sex with his wife, temporarily wiping out his memory of the previous day and rendering him unable to retain new information, doctors have said. The 66-year-old man became distressed after he looked at his phone after sex one afternoon, saw the date, and thought that he'd forgotten his wedding anniversary, when in fact he'd celebrated it with his wife and family just the day before. The memory loss lasted for an hour, with the man repeatedly questioning his wife and daughter over the events of the morning and the previous day. The man, who was not identified in the case report, visited an emergency room and had a completely normal neurological examination by the time he got there. Here we go. Doctors diagnosed him with transient global amnesia, a benign condition that causes sudden short-term memory loss and the inability to form new memories. This is any memory loss that lasts anywhere from 4 to 6 hours.
Does the pussy trigger it?
It actually said that this was... here we go. Most cases have been reported in men, between the ages of 50 and 70. So y'all be careful for y'all dating older men, but here we go. They say that it is linked to several activities, including physical exertion, immersion in cold or hot water, emotional stress, pain, and sex.
I have this.
This
was Shaggy right was talking about. It wasn't me.
Every time
I fucking nigga, I get dumb. And I think, this shit is real.
Do you hear this shit?
Wait, does it return? Do your brain cells return?
It takes a minute.
Okay, you be like,
you're high. It takes so much time to like get back. It's not just high, bro. I really like. I forget all the bullshit they've done. I'm telling you,
you forget all the bullshit they've done because the sex was good.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. Her pussy is fire.
That's why he forgot his whole wedding anniversary.
That nigga again. I don't even know where he lives, bro. And
you forgot.
After I fucked him, he told me he had a girlfriend, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I remember what he said.
And you said I'm gonna keep fucking him because I don't
didn't
remember
keep fucking him, but like I
you
really,
want to.
Yeah, badly.
That's nuts.
But now, I'm trying to hold my karma up. I made a lot of mistakes in the past with things I shouldn't have. And I feel like I've wiped that slate away. And so I need to honor it.
You born again?
I'm a born again hoe.
Okay.
Have you ever had dick so good that it just made you forget about the bullshit that they had did?
No.
No? You're like, no.
Well, my shit's benign. She just
not your shit's benign. What things have you seen as a psychotherapist? Uh-huh. Like that's neurological wild shit, right? That is wild pertaining to sex, either sex trauma or like literally a neurological effect because of sex. We just actually talked about a couple episodes ago when Khloe Kardashian came out and said that she experienced PTSD from being cheated on so much.
Yeah. I can imagine that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there things that you've like been like, ooh, let me look into this?
I think the more challenging sex and neurological and psychological has been, I had a client, I don't want to misdiagnose right now, but that had different personalities. Like they really had different embodiments, about 8 different embodiments. And I met with them and their partner, and the challenging part was for one of those embodiments was triggered sexual, like it sort of encompassed their sexual trauma. Another one was very excitable and very sexual. And so it was really challenging for the partner to know who was showing up.
Oh, wow.
When they would be able to get their needs met, when they had to completely fall back. So that was just like, oh, okay, this is hard.
Wow.
This is tough. And I mean, they're, last I know, still together and working through it. And it really had to put a lot of responsibility on that person to share who you are. But it was something similar with respect to stress. High levels of stress would bring out that trauma personality. But this person had different names for these people.
Oh,
and as a therapist, it was also challenging because I had to ask, like, I'm in therapy with this person. This is a person who signed up for practice. If that person is not available, we cannot have sessions.
You charge them times 8? Because, like, that's a whole bunch of different people.
I did not
I'm like, goddamn, now I'm having therapy with 8 people. I'm going to have to charge you a premium.
But that's why only one person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At a time.
At a time. But it was so, that was very, very challenging. But
that's crazy.
There.
I'm just saying. I can't ask that question.
I just have something in my head that's inappropriate to say.
Hold
right
it in. For that good karma. Hold it in.
I want to make sure we keep this kinky.
Okay.
Because if y'all are watching on the YouTube, that's right, Horrible Decisions YouTube, you can see the full video here. You is dressed.
Oh, thank you.
Dressed the hell up.
Thank you.
Looking like a bondage queen. Mm. I wanted to ask you, we have our hors d'oeuvre segment where we ask for a tip from our guests. Mm. And I wanted you to give us a kinky tip.
Okay, I'm gonna go super kink because this is something that's
super
coming
kink. Up. Yeah, don't give
communication.
Us
no mo.
We don't want to hear communication. We don't want blowjob tips. We don't want how to eat pussy. Okay. Those are basics.
Yeah, thank you.
Give us some hardcore shit.
Okay, so this is for people who are ready to take it up to the next level. I am really suggesting that you start to experience sounding.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
Is this really where we're heading?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this where we're going?
Are you in blackface right now? Black people do sounding?
Yes. Yes.
Wait,
your
would
man
that
do it?
No.
Oh.
He films me do it, though.
He films you
me
do it
doing it to other people. I have a session coming up. That's why I'm thinking about it right now.
I guess we got to go into what it is again.
Wait, go, right, please, yes, explain, please, for those of you listening.
Okay. Has it come up on?
Oh,
on,
yes. And we, girl, we, oh, judge and shame.
Not us having all the nerve. Give us the kick. No bullshit. Oh, like, wait,
no. Tell us how to do a good blow job. Okay.
Okay, no. Okay, give us a kick. Okay. Sounding for those of you who are unaware, okay, please break it down to what you enjoy doing, ma'am.
So it's a fetish where you take a medical sound, which is it can be steel or it could be silicone rod. Usually it's medical grade steel. And you stick it in the urethra of the penis. So the penis hole, the dick hole. Ow. You stick it in there. And
a sexual catheter.
There you
think
go.
Of it that way.
Yep. And so you're opening up that and it is giving them the sensation. So, you know, the sensation that you have when you have to pee?
No, that's not a sensation.
Full? Yes.
The urge to pee. Okay.
Yeah. So it's that full feeling.
Ow.
Yeah. No, not ow.
Wow, but like, you know.
Like, intense, right? Yeah. Like that's pressure. What we want. The pressure. Don't we like that pressure?
No. Yes. I hate UTIs.
It depends. No. But I get what you mean.
But you know how women, when we feel full, right? When we're getting fucked, we feel full.
Yes.
We hear that
and
pressure.
I like that.
Intense.
I like that feeling.
It's hitting that bladder,
like,
right?
That
you like that? Don't you want that for your man? Ah.
It is boot hole.
I mean, there too.
Okay.
Do both.
So I would... And you do this on black men. Black men are asking for this.
Yes. All men are asking for
this. Okay, so what's the tip? Give us the tip.
The tip is to make sure that everything is clean.
Does he have to be super hard? Because, like, what if it...
No. You just have to move very slow.
Do you wear gloves when you do it?
I do.
Okay.
I do because I don't want to give anyone an infection. Yeah. I use sterile sanitized alcohol, you know, wiped. It's on a pad.
Imagine
on
if a you sterile pad. Feel a little bit of alcohol going in your dick hole.
And I use See, I mean you could, but I don't want to.
Cuz you can't put a
them.
Condom on it.
No. No, you shouldn't. Cuz it's not like tight enough, you
right,
know.
Right.
So I clean it really good. And then I use surgical lube. It's like, and I feel like a doctor. It's like a medical procedure.
That's kind of cool.
And then you could feel it, and I like to make it go up and down. Yeah, it's so. And then they come. Yeah, they're
wait,
really into
it. Pushes it out.
Yes, yes.
Let me look this shit up.
It's on Royal Fetish Films. XXX.com.
There you go.
Do we got Apple Pay? Then I can just.
Can I ask you? How did you, as a woman, realize that this was something you would enjoy as a fetish?
A bottom asked me to do it. A submissive was like, I'm into sound. We were actually sceneing. And they were like, yeah, we could do this. And I was like, sounding.
Oh my God, I'm looking at it, y'all. Someone, I'm telling you, when you fucking click on this shit.
Uh-huh.
I know, I don't want to see
it. You know what it looks like?
And they can get really big too.
Mm-hmm. He's jerking off into it.
Yeah,
it looks
yeah.
like the light. You know when you have a long lighter for barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
That's how long the tip looks.
Ah,
but I want to share. So my tip is, if you do it, keep it clean, right? Keep it sterile. Now, like you said, we talk all over the years about how we've learned and how we've grown into this work. I will say that when I was just a therapist in a medical unit, there was a client, not like a therapeutic client, that was putting things in his penis, right? So pens, pencils, safety pins, like all kind of stuff. I was not a kink-informed therapist like I am now.
Okay.
I was just like that exact same reaction, like, oh my gosh, like we have to stop this behavior. His caregiver was just like taking him to the ER every single time. He's got a disinfection.
How old is he?
He was an older person, but he had some other medical issues that kept him from being able to care for himself completely. So he would get like dick infections, right? And she would be bringing him into the ER, having
to explain.
I love
how you didn't have another word for that.
Dick infections?
She was saying everything's caregiver, but the dick infections was nuts.
I'm trying to still be relatable to the streets, Wheezy.
Girl, you know what I mean? Thank you. Because the way when my mama be, she a nurse and she loved getting on the phone telling me all these medical terms. And I said, bitch, can you speak English? What does it mean? It's an ear infection. It's not a something, Ophelia,
but
whatever.
I'm trying to be relatable. We see your outfit. We got it.
Okay, so he kept getting dick infections. And
yeah. And so, and the treatment team, if I would have known what I know now, I would have just asked the simple question, like, are you getting sexual pleasure from this? Can I help you find instruments?
Wait, were you on the medical side?
Yeah, I was on the treatment team as a
psychotherapist.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, they were just like, we got to help this family. Like, he's going to hurt himself with, you know, what's wrong with him. And I just wish that I knew what I knew now to be able, because this is the thing about being a fetish trainer. It's like, oh, you like that sensation. Let me help you find a safe way to do this.
At that time, mm-hmm. what was the diagnosis? Like, without having yeah. that fetish training, you guys just, again, thought something was wrong.
Yeah, they were, like, looking at everything related to early stage dementia. They were looking at, he had some PTSD issues. He had post-stroke. But these are not behaviors necessarily of somebody who has a stroke. And he wasn't forgetting, like, he was consistent with finding things to put in his penis. He did not have the autonomy to date. Because he was under like medical care and somebody was overseeing his day-to-day stuff, like his bath and all that kind of stuff. He was
horny.
He was getting pleasure that way. And it bothers me so bad to this day.
He's dead now?
Probably. Yeah. It's been a while. And he had a lot of medical conditions. But I just wish I could have been like, y'all get this man some privacy, give him some sound, some gloves, you know, and that's it.
Make it safe for him. Down on us and he appreciates you.
I hope so. Thank you. Gosh, but yeah, so like having these kind of conversations for people who are not in the sex field, but we encounter people's kinks all the time. Like, how can we make it safe?
Are there any kinks that you feel are more than others that get the bad rep to be something that's associated with some sort of, or just being wrong? Yeah. Like, what kinks have you like worked through with people to make them know that what they're into is actually okay?
Okay, yeah. I mean, people have such a high level of shame if they deviate anywhere outside of vanilla sex, you know, like, right. I mean, just the way people like, I'm sure that they come at you for pegging, you know, mm-hmm. or like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. You like men's booty hole. Like,
oh,
your booty hole. Right.
You know? Right.
I mean, it really is damn near everything. And it's really the weight that to me, it's like not even a particular kink. It's just it makes me so sad how people like shrink themselves, you know, like just even coming and saying, I want. For Black women, especially, anything outside of vanilla sex, like damn near anything. It's like, I want to be peed on, you know, and there's such a stigma in our community around any type of like urine play. I have people that like scat play. And it's like, okay, you like defilement. Get it. Okay. There's a couple of ways that we could do this without maybe not necessarily using excrement. There's ways that we can do it using excrement.
Can we actually... And I love that you say it that way mm-hmm. because, yeah, like, so you say it's defilement. Mm-hmm. So I actually said that would be my hard limit. I'm not interested in scat mm-hmm. play. But if I were to come across a partner who was really into it,
yeah.
what would be other options that I could do to still allow him the pleasure, mm-hmm. like what scat play would do for him?
So a couple of things. When people think scat, they just automatically think like the worst thing, like eating shit, right? Mm-hmm. But for some people, it's not that. Some is watching you go to the bathroom. Maybe it's not flushing the toilet after you go out to the bathroom. I mean, it's like, okay, well, I don't got to stay in there and smell it, right?
We had a town hall recently where one of the patrons mm-hmm. We have an upper tier where they can join a Discord.
Yeah.
And he met a woman on there that allowed him to engage with her in his play, which I guess is defilement, where he face fucked her till she threw up. And then he peed in her mouth. And we were all like, ooh, tea. Now, y'all may have heard that in a 5-minute clip. But I did really appreciate, like, I'm laughing about it and joking. But midway through the conversation, I'm like, I am so happy that he found her on a horrible decisions chat mm-hmm. where he probably found, you know, mm-hmm. skin fucking can folk.
Yep.
And was like, damn, I get to explore this shit with you. Because I do call it WPS, white people shit. But I know that's fucked up to say. Still fun to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's only white people choose because they have took all of our sex play and narrowed it into the procreation for their systems, their capitalistic system. So everything outside of that, any fun, is like white people shit. Our jobs when it comes to sex is to be sexy for their gays and to have more children to work their fucking jobs.
Right.
You know, so there is truth to what you're saying, but I think that it's time for us to broaden up our scope of what is our shit. Like, and our shit meaning yours, your own.
You wanted to come on Horrible because you got some new shit going on. You came out with a line of
So we have
Lunchables. What was the word you used?
Penetratables.
And girl, not Lunchables, bitch.
Yeah, you can eat them.
Penetratables. Wait, they're edible?
No.
Edible penetratables?
I mean,
they're like, bitch, you about to feed us? I ain't eat lunch today, nah.
They're body safe. You shouldn't bite a chunk off. you got some strong ass teeth if you can break this silicone.
Oh, and they about to be stronger when I get these veneers, baby.
Oh, shit.
I chop.
So we y'all know the King Noir dildo, right?
Yes, I'm aware of it.
Yeah, sometimes with that
I've had a lot of times with it. I have spent the last 3 years with King right next to my bed, in my suitcase from time to time, and I just, it's massive. Mm-hmm. And I think I told you this the last time you were on here. God bless you.
Thank you.
Just God bless you.
And our growing family.
And your growing family.
They hold a lot of sperm.
Well, tell people how they can support you, support your products.
Yeah, what's penetratables? Okay.
Yeah.
So a penetratable is something that you could penetrate. And we just call it that because, you know, like a pocket pussy. And it's like, you know, let everybody do whatever they want to do. Use the names that they want to call it. It looks like a little statue of me. And so it could be anywhere. It's
okay.
A piece of art. I mean, it's like nothing in my likeness. It's not necessarily me. And I call it Jasmine's Garden. And then you flip it open. It's my vulva. And it was super intentional to make my vulva the way my vulva looks. Not like some white people shit where prepubescent. Like, no, my shit it has butterfly wings.
Did you get the mold where you lay down in?
Well, so we did it a little bit differently. We did it through some 3D printing with Lust Art. So there was a lot of scanning.
Wow.
It was a really, really awesome experience to see my body in that way. And then for us to sit down and have a conversation where they were like, this is what your pussy looks like. Is this what you would like to look at? And I had to really
not like, hey,
wait, they literally said that's cute.
Well, I mean, you know, in nice, like, you know, tech, you know, toy terms, like, this is the, here's your pussy.
Here it is.
You know, how do you feel about it? And, you know, for me to like take a moment and go, like, yeah, like that's what it looks like. I don't want a vaginoplasty. I don't want no Botox in it. I really would like.
Wait, you can get Botox in your puss?
You know, I'm not sure if that's what it's called, but I know that you can get it fuller. I know you can get it fuller. You can get it in your asshole.
I watched the show called Uncoupled on Netflix, the gay show. It's so good. It's from the creators of Sex and the City. But basically, one of the dudes is like, you're too big to fuck me.
Oh,
and the guy put Botox in his ass to relax the muscle or some shit.
Okay.
It was
so. I know that there is like plastic surgery for vaginas, but I didn't want to do that. I just wanted it to be me.
Look, you said, King, they out here fucking you. I'm going to make sure they can be out here fucking me too.
You know that's right.
Penetrable.
Listen. Mm-hmm.
So then the inside of it, I had him explain to the artist what it feels like to be inside of me.
Girl.
So that the artist could create.
This is hot. Wait, actually, did you record him explaining that? That to me would be like
on. In his voice, in his audio. He could re-explain it.
He should re-explain it and y'all should do it all for the podcast.
So that'll be launching soon. Yes. And thank you for that idea.
Yes.
And then we have a whole line of penetratables, what people usually call dildos. I just wanted to use what it actually does. Dildo, when you kind of look back, the word, it's a real silly word. It was actually used to describe lullabies to babies. Like, so penetratables. What else we got?
Do they vibrate?
They do not. They don't. They're
just dildos.
Yeah, and they function really well with, we have a harness for them.
Good, I got a harness. I travel with it.
Yep. We have a 3-in-1 harness that fits all of them. So my mind was for sex workers. This line is for anybody can use it, but it's definitely for sex workers because we need quality toys.
Yes.
That last and that grow with us. It's like you buy your whole kit and you don't need to revisit it for like another 6 to 7 years.
There's a sex worker making the toys for us. You know what I'm saying? Not that, you know, I don't know that you'll hear an ad in the middle of this episode where they like, boom, buddy sex toys. But, you know, it's nice to know. It's kind of like people that make tampons having pussies is a great thing.
It is. It's, you know, FUBU, the FUBU model. Right?
Hello.
So that we got some new impact play toys out. So I got some of that for y'all. Some floggers.
Girl, I'm going to try all these things out this weekend, baby. I don't know if you know.
What's the site that people can buy them on?
JetSetAndJasmine.com.
JetSetAndJasmine.com.
Everything is on there.
And we'll make sure that the description of that is in the episode.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you, before we get out of here, we have time for either the horrible decision or for home mail, where you can help us answer a question.
Home mail.
You want to? I love it. I love it. Only because too, we talked about how you talk to, you know, your children, family, everything that was kind of in there.
It's in there.
You touched on it.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get to our home mail. This one is speaking to male insecurities. Mm. So would love you as a psychotherapist to help us with this. What's up, Mandy and Weezy? So my wife and I 30 and 28 with three kids, are pretty open with communication and honesty. To be honest, she's bisexual and has had a couple of threesomes with other women. She has tried to initiate a threesome with her female friend and me, but it didn't work out. Anyway, recently, she told me that she wanted to fuck another chick that she also found attractive and said that she wouldn't be mad if I smashed this chick as well. Here's the thing. You right, as a male, I used to be a hoe before marriage. I do not want this freedom. One, I will never be okay with her having another dick inside of her, especially if it's bigger than mine. She said that deep down, she'd want to have other dick, but to be 100, that killed my self-confidence and made me feel inadequate. Look, I'm short, 5'7", with about a 5.5 to 6 inch curved dick. So below average in height and below average in dick. Let's be real. How can I not feel inadequate? So here's the thing. Y'all always talk about loving big dick. So as a man who ain't blessed like that, how can I ever be okay with her taking a bigger dick, any other dick, and not feel like a man? In my eyes, that man is better no matter what. Like, I should lower my voice if he's carrying around Magnums and I'm carrying around regular Trojans. I could never see her the same, and truthfully, I'd resent her for moaning on another dick, which is ironic. It took forever for my partner to be okay with how I moaned with the king dick. And we talked about it. So, he said, bruh, just leave me at this point, even though we've been together for 7+ years. She's even said she's down to start swinging. I respect her honesty, but I really don't know how to get it out of my head. She even told me there's a guy she wished she could still, to this day, fuck, but she doesn't want to leave me for him. How shitty does that sound? Or am I being a bitch? They used to work together and all that, but she reassured me that ain't nothing. Here we go. He's wrapping it up. To wrap it up, I'm completely okay with her fucking women all she wants. I do not have to be involved in any way. She even had a full-blown girlfriend during our marriage, which I had no role in because, obviously, still being her husband and all that. A lot of men feel this way but won't admit to it. As women, be real. Am I doing too much? He also asks if that's a whole nother story. I'm going to save that for another. But in terms of insecurities of a man mm-hmm. coming into where now you do have a partner that's open about her sexuality, the things she'd like to introduce, what advice would you give to, I would say, a male or woman in this case, to insecurities regarding your partner or your own shortcomings?
So his last question is, am I doing too much?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he is overthinking on top of
He has a whole list of all these things. Yes.
And, you know, my first thought is none of that belongs to his wife. None of that belongs to his wife. She's being honest about what she would like. And she's being honest about, like, if this is your limit, then I can respect that limit. I would like to do those things, but you would not like that. So I will respect the container of our marriage. That's all his work. How he feels about his penis, how he feels about how it is in comparison to other people, how his dick is where his manhood starts and ends, that is all his. I would suggest that he step back from I think his wife is bringing those insecurities out, like his relationship to his wife and her sexuality is bringing those insecurities out. But he needs to take that whole thing, that whole write-up that he gave, and go find himself somebody to work with on those insecurities as it relates to himself. Because that's too much for her to have to try to figure out with him. And I don't think that he can figure that out by himself. And he shouldn't have to. He doesn't have to.
It's interesting that you say that, because the advice that I want to say, and before I give advice, I would like to say to any of our male listeners, where we've sat here and said we're size queens. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends do like smaller dicks.
Yeah.
And so I don't want any man listening to this show to feel berated or like we're saying that they're not as much of a man because they have a small dick. There's a lot of women that do prefer that.
I like all the sizes.
And the same way, I'm like, girl, I don't know how you could do, you know, King Daily.
I like a small dick over your man.
Like, he big. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ever, because we come on this show and speak so highly of big dicks, to feel like you're not a man with a little dick, because that's not the truth.
No, that the size of your dick does not make you a man, period.
At all.
It's like you're a man with a, right?
So
it's your money. I'm just saying.
It's your money that makes you a man.
Girl.
I'm playing. But she like broke niggas, so it's okay. It goes both ways.
Well, they're niggas.
They got bitches.
God is fair. So respect your preference. But there are things that I don't do with my partner because his dick is big, right? We do a lot of things, but we don't do everything. I'm like, if that's what she wants, like, go ahead, put it there. Don't put it in mine. You know, like, I don't do anal with him.
We gathered for that.
But a lot of women do. We have a library of women that do. And I'm just like, that's like great. Like,
thank like your you. Body is different.
Your body is different. And I'm so glad that I get to have this outer body experience with my partner in your ass. Like, I love that. Like, I can do it, though. You know?
No, I agree. And I think that what he's saying actually holds true to just a lot of relationships, mm-hmm. right? Like, I've been to where... I think I've had a partner who was open to doing things and thought he was going to be able to put his ego aside. And mm-hmm. I've had to step in and be like, you're not ready.
Right.
Like, I don't want you to feel pressured to going to a sex club or mm-hmm. to bringing other people in or because we brought so many other women in mm-hmm. for you to say, it's time for me to bring in a man so that you're not ready for that. And I'm not. I know. Mm-hmm. So don't push it because I know that you're still not ready for mm-hmm. that. And I think that a part of me would say I would wish that he would share this with her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like this email. This email with her, with a therapist.
You can't emotionally dump on someone, and I feel like that's a lot of dumping and a lot of pressure. I think you got to figure out what to start with first, and again, like with therapy. Because if I read that with someone I was with, I'd be like, that was even a lot.
Oh, yeah, this is a lot.
She's probably already feeling a lot of that already, you know? I bet that there's a lot of projection already onto their relationship. So maybe this would be like, oh, that's what's going on. But definitely, he needs to work through
that. Well, good luck to you. Jasmine, please let everyone know where they can find you, follow you. Thank you so much as well for joining us for another episode. Let everyone know where they can follow you.
So you can see all the kinky, nasty stuff at royalfetishxxx.com. You can listen to our podcast at Royal Fetish Radio. And I am at Jet Set Jasmine everywhere.
Yes. And we will put all of that in the description of this episode. We are also going to leave you with a 5-minute bonus clip from our Patreon. Again, we referenced it in this episode. Join us every month. If you're a top tier patron, you can join us with an episode and share your stories. And again, we also have our Discord. That's again at our Patreon, patreon.com/horrible decisions. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Peace.
Some of our most popular episodes we've ever had were guests with disabilities. And I think it's because, you know, everybody's curious. We all want to know. And it's like, this is like our secret way of figuring out, does your dick work?
You hear me? I'm going to keep it funky with you.
Listen, I ain't going to hold back on no jokes
either. What's the disability that you got?
I have a spinal cord injury. When I was 18, I was in a football scholarship. And a lady was texting and driving and ran me off the road right after practice. And I broke my neck in two places.
Now, your name is Fletcher. Let's start mm-hmm. with that. Fletcher, yep. you're known on IG as Rolling on Faith, but some people call you the Wheelchair Nomad. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I obtained a nickname, the Wheelchair Nomad, because I do a lot of traveling and moving and grooving.
How long have you been disabled? Like, how old are you?
I'm 31. 12-12. My birthday coming up. 32. I know, right? Getting old.
Nigga getting old for real.
For real.
So, I know you said, like, you know, the texting and driving, which is, it's so crazy because we take for granted so much. Like, we're like technology, you know what I mean? And like actually just having an experience just to drive and not text, people can't do anymore. When it happened to you, did you think that there was a chance that you would walk again? Like, what was that experience like?
Of course, you know what I'm saying? Being 18 years young, you have the idealization, like, oh, damn, like, I really can't walk, you know what I'm saying? And especially being an athlete, like, I've relied on my physical capabilities my entire life. And I was blessed enough to receive a football scholarship. And then when my physical abilities were taken away, I was like, damn, what am I going to do now? But, you know, fortunately, my parents instilled education inside of me. So I went back to college and got a degree in computer science. But it was tough in the beginning. And because that's the main goal is like, all right, I need to walk. But then you start to learn what it really means to be paralyzed. It was like, before I walk, maybe I should learn how to put my shirt on first. Maybe I should learn how to get myself dressed. Maybe, you know, it's like levels to it. It ain't just like not being able to walk.
what were basic things that you like that were super frustrating? I'm sure you, you know, I mean, it's been what, 12, 13 years now?
13 years. Oh. Yep.
What was something basic that you were like, fuck, I can't do this, and it was difficult for you? Basic needs with yourself.
In the beginning or like now that I'm 30, 31? Because it changed throughout the times.
Tell us.
So like, you know, like being honest, like when I was 18, I got hurt and then you paralyzed. First thing, 18-year-old thing, can I still have sex? Like, that's the first thing you start thinking of.
Was you fucking that young? When did you start fucking?
Now that you can't tell nobody, but I lost my virginity at 14.
That ain't that bad.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. That was too young to be doing what I was doing. I'll never forget.
Little boys is fast.
Yeah, I got hit for the first time in 7th grade and I lost my virginity in the 8th grade. Yep.
No,
that's not about
you
normal.
You did think is your dick gonna work, but did it work?
Absolutely. Well, so that's what, you know, you go to the doctors and they give you all, you know, the blue diamonds and all the Cialis and all that stuff. So, you know, everybody's body's different. So what it may work for me.
At 18?
Oh, yeah. You get it right to it. Well, I was still fresh in my injury. So like after like a year of like, all right, before you start thinking about that, let's work on therapy. You know what I'm saying?
So after the accident, you went a year then not having sex. Because they wanted to.
Yeah, I would say like a year. I would say like a year and a half. Yeah.
Did you have any exes that you was fucking before the injury that came back and fucked you after the injury?
No, not.
They gotta give you pity, pussy.
Not before and after. I wish, but not before and after. So like, unfortunately, the situation I was involved in, just being young, she ended up breaking up with me when I was in the hospital. And
no, she didn't.
I wouldn't even call her that. She good people. She was just young.
How did she do it? No, fuck her. Fuck her.
I ain't that type of nigga. I can't do it like that. Like I can't. You know what I'm saying?
I can do
that's
it.
Still, that's still my homie. She was just like, cause I was a freshman in college. She was a senior in high school, and she was just like, you know, Fletch. Everybody's been coming up to me. How's Fletch? How's Fletch? I've had to check into therapy. I can't. I just need a break from everything. You know, I think it's best if we just, you know, take some time apart. And I was like, bitch, I mean, I see you. Like, I did what? Like, this ain't the time for this. At least wait till I got to a regular room.
That part, yeah. I'm like, damn, she could have waited a little bit.
But I get it, you know what I'm saying? Like, and plus, being that quote-unquote star athlete and then being paralyzed, you think, you know, she 18, she gonna have to take care of this nigga. She gonna have to do this, she gonna have to do that. But then a nigga bossed up and was like, okay, damn, Matt Fletcher right here doing his thing.